Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And so we come, Lord God Almighty, we come, Lord, clothed in you. We pray that you would strengthen us today. May you grant us today grace, Lord, to just really understand what you're doing in our midst. Lord, let the word of God dwell richly in us today. And so help us to rest in you. Help us to continue to pursue you, to press into God, not to, Lord, allow anything to distract us, but Lord, to know that you are with us. And so we ask you, Jesus, that you protect every one of us, protect this church, protect every car in this lot. We come against anything that ever would come back and do it. We just pray a wall of protection around this property. And Lord, that you would deal with him, Lord God. That you would do as you please with him. That you'd be merciful, but he's in your hands, Jesus. And so we commit him. We give him to you, Lord. And so we pray, Father, protect everything around here. And so, God, thank you so much for this morning to come together and to consider a few thoughts of your word, Lord, this morning. Lord, let it be enriching to our souls, we pray. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and just skip a little bit of our review and just go straight. We picked up this idea of what is a biblical illustration of the ways of God. You know, he says in Ezekiel, he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey them. All right? So we looked at the story of Jacob. The story of Jacob is just filled with just wonderful themes. You know, they're intersect between our understanding. Jacob is going to be very instrumental in redemptive history, because he's really going to be, if you notice, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and
Jacob.
And Jacob will be then really the father of the nation. So Jacob is a central figure. Oftentimes in Isaiah, the Lord refers to whom? In Isaiah. He said, fear not, O
Jacob.
And so Jacob will embody, I believe, God's people in a way that is unique and distinct, as opposed to Abraham and Isaac. I think Jacob, we can all relate to Jacob. And so the story of Jacob is actually a wonderful story to study, to really be, because in it, you will learn a lot of God's ways. You will learn a lot of how God deals that oftentimes. And so we're going to pick up. Last week we saw that Jacob deceived his father, and basically Esau vows to kill Jacob. Genesis 27:41. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching, then I will kill my brother Jacob. And so climaxes with this pact. Esau says, I'm going to kill my brother. And so something has been dramatically changed. And one of the things that you learn from this story right up front regarding God's ways, the statutes of the Lord, is that the blessing of the Lord is not dependent on what you do, on what you don't do. The story of Jacob blows that theory away completely. The story of Jacob, basically, Jacob is in that particular chapter 27, actually, Esau is the more honorable person, right? Because he obeys his father, he does all that, but it doesn't matter. Jacob I have loved, and Esau I hate. So this is where, if you're gonna start with God's ways, you're gonna have to know that he is sovereign. He's sovereign. And that's going to be a problem for a lot of people. Right? It's going to be a problem. But, I mean, what are you going to do about it? He is God. He is sovereign. And, you know, Jacob messed up, but he comes out of there smelling like a rose with a blessing. Esau did the right thing, and he came out of there with a curse. You heard the curse of Isaac. So Isaac said, "You no dew from heaven. You will never. You will be far from the fat of the earth." Right? You're done. And you're like, if you're reading this from a purely, this is like messed up. Like, God, you really messed this one up. No, he didn't. So you immediately start with the sovereignty of God. He is God. Be still. Know that he is
God.
Be still. And that's the beginning. You can't begin to understand God until you stand on the ground that he is God. And you are not. And he can impose his will on whoever he wants. Right? So it's just, that's why we stand in awe of this God. Because he's so separate from us. And so the journey begins. Let me just read Romans 9, 10 through 16. It just says in scriptural form what I just told. Romans 9, verses 10 through 16. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived. Rebekah is Jacob's mom. When Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born, and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose, sovereign purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him called, she was told, "The older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, Esau, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means." That's the question. The good thing about Paul raises the question for us. Right? That we're asking. God must not be just if he's just like doing whatever he wants. And Paul said, no. God is not unjust. He is the most just being. He's the only just being. Amen? So yeah. By no means. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." So God there says, hey, I can do what I want, and all that I do is good and perfect. Amen?
Amen.
So we delight in that, and that's where, you know, to grow in the Lord, we embrace that. So then it does not depends, so that it depends not on human will or exertion, but on
God,
who has
mercy.
Mercy.
So let's continue the story, Joseph. We pick up Genesis 27. This is an illustration. We can see. We'll just pick up some things here, and then hopefully just wrap it up in a few minutes. Jacob now received the blessing. But even though he's been blessed, he has to flee. These are God's ways. All right, so verse 42. But the words of Esau, her older son, told to Rebekah, she sent and called Jacob, her youngest son, and said to him, "Oh, brother Esau, comfort himself." I was laughing. That's the way I used to comfort myself. And when I would get angry, I would have like several versions of movies with dramatic explosions. I mean, like, then every movie was just, we would add intensity. You'd be like, and then my mind would be like, so, and I'm telling you, you can laugh now, but that's exactly what I would have these movies. I'm like, that's a little, and so Esau comforted himself. You ever been like that? Come on, am I the only one?
No.
Yeah.
You comfort yourself in wanting to kill somebody. Praise God, he changed us. Amen? Thank God we're not, now we cover ourselves and how to serve people. What a wonderful change. Amen. And I can tell you, I remember one time I was talking with my maintenance guy, and out of the blue, his name was called Muerte, which means death. And so he had a vicious anger. So him and I got along, because every time you get angry, I'm just like, ah. I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. And one day I'm talking to him, he was like so angry at his daughter or something. The daughter's work, he said, out of the blue, I had never told him the story. He said, oh yeah, I have a movie for him. And I just cracked up laughing. I was like, oh yeah, the movie Technicolor, right? So yeah, he's comforting. Esau's comforting himself by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran. Stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away. Until your brother's anger turns away from you. He forgets what you have done to him, and I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you? Both of you. So Rebecca sees what's going on. She sees that he comforts himself. And Rebecca really favors Jacob. No doubt about that. So she sends him off to Haran. Now, Haran is an interesting place. Haran is the place, right, where Abraham's father died. So you can see clearly now, if you're going to follow God, his ways, there are these ways of God. In the midst of the blessing, he's blessed Jacob. And he's got to go to Haran. He's got to go outside of the land of promise. Right? In Genesis 11, 31, 32, Terah took Abraham, his son. Terah is Abraham's father. And Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, and his sons, Abraham's wife. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled. The days of Terah, 205 years, and Terah died. Haran is a place away from the promise, a place of death. I don't think that Jacob would want to go there simply because of the history. So because of his treachery, Jacob finds himself exiled from the land of promise. What can you learn from this? What are statutes what you're going to learn? Jacob, by the way, Jacob remained in this land for about 20 years. It was not just a passing by the night. It was a long time in Haran, a place away from the land of promise. This is going to mirror your life in many ways. Right? These are what you're going to find out is that God's great work in you will take place in Haran. You know, these are the ways of God that sometimes many young believers just. That's why, when you've been walking with God, now you can teach the next generation how to, because you're going to, as a young believer, you will probably end up going to Haran, a place away from the promise, right? A place where there's a history of death. This is not necessarily a place that Jacob wanted to go there. And what you're going to find is that the Lord will do his great work exactly in Haran, in Jacob's life. It is in Haran that God is going to do a great work in Jacob. Right? So, look at God, in Hosea, look at, these are things that we, Hosea chapter 2, verses 14. Look what God does. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. What does the word allure mean? To attract you to her, to draw you to her. I'm going to lure you, right? Some of them mostly use a colonel. They allure them to their house and then whatever. But it's the idea of drawing them, right? Attracting them. And I'm going to bring her into what? Why not a palace? Why not a beautiful garden? God will allure you and bring you into what? Wilderness, Haran, a place that is uncomfortable, a place that there's not a lot of natural resources, a place where the sun beats hard and the nights are cold and there's some animals that can really do some vicious things, right? The wilderness is not a pleasant place to dwell. The wilderness is not a place that you build your homes. Can you imagine someone, a developer, hey, we got, I I guess they did that in California, right? Yeah, let's build some houses in the desert, you know, that's California, yeah? Don't buy nothing in California, it's all like desert, yeah. But, you know, but nobody goes to the wilderness to build a community. But God will bring you into wilderness and speak what? You're going to have to figure that out. Well, you're going to have to, this is hard, this is God's ways. God speaks tenderly in the wilderness. When you don't have much help, when you don't have any resources, when you're detached, when you're alienated, when you're isolated, when you're alone, when things are, right, he will speak tenderly to her in the wilderness. That's exactly what's going to happen to Jacob. Look at Isaiah 43, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. A voice cries, in the wilderness, where do you prepare? Prepare the way of the Lord. Where?
In the wilderness.
So maybe the Lord, you know, so if the Lord, if you sense that some difficult things are taking place in your life, unpleasant things are happening, maybe you anticipate, this is what, I'm coming into a hard season. I'm coming into, it's okay, rejoice. Because the Lord is going to speak tenderly to you and he will come to you in the wilderness. Prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Well, the story goes on. Jacob flees to Haran. He's running. And this particular passage really changed my life years ago. I just set the Bible down and said, okay. Jacob is on the run. He just deceived his father. His brother is like criminally hatred, right? Full of hatred and wants to kill him. He has left the bloody mess back home. He's on the run. He's fleeing. He's going to Haran. He's not going to like Jerusalem. He's going to a place of that is uncomfortable, a place that God's going to do his work in Haran. But on the way to Haran, something happens. Let's pick up the story, Genesis 28 and verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward where?
Haran.
Bad, that's bad. Bad. You put that bad. In my Bible, I like to underline bad things with red. Good things with green. You know? Neutral things, maybe blue, you know? Things I'm not sure, brown. You find ways to, you know, just to highlight. He went toward Haran. That's supposed to be meaningful. He's going to a bad place. He's going to a tough area. He's going away from home. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. These are all figurative things that the Bible is telling you. Hey, the sun had set. That means it's dark. That means it's night. That means it's bad. You can mark that one in red too. The sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his bed. Very, how many like to sleep with a stone on your bed?
No, your head.
Can you imagine Mr. Pillow Guy? Maybe I could compete with Mr. Pillow Guy and I could have stones, you know? I got, you know, you guys know Mr. Pillow Guy?
No.
Do I know Mr. Pillow Guy? All right. He put it under his bed. It's uncomfortable. He laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. Are you kidding? He dreamed and there was a ladder set upon the earth. And the top of it reached the heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad. In you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Is anyone shocked? I can imagine Jacob. It's like, he didn't say nothing about Esau. I think I got him. Thank you, Lord. Right? When I read this music, I wept over this because I didn't know this kind of God. I did not know. It still affects me to today. He's on the run. He's just robbed 3 banks. All right, so let's put it in modern language. He's robbed 3 banks. He's got $10,000 in his car, and he's like, he's got a patch. And God appears to him and says, "I love you, and I'm going to give you all of this." What? That doesn't make sense, right? Does that make sense to you? Crazy. He's messed up. He's hurt his father. He's destroyed his brother. His brother will never recover again. And God just gave like the most glorious blessing that can be given to man. The promise of the side, the promise of the sea, the promise. I mean, right? How about like, oh, and by the way, but I know what you did. I'm going to get you later. I'm like, okay, now we've restored. You know, right? That would be this idea of like just going away, not saying a word, not saying, hey, what is God doing with Jacob? You know what God is doing with Jacob? Telling Jacob, you have no clue who I am. I am more magnificent than you would ever imagine. Because when I read this, I'm like, okay, this I want to know this God. Are you kidding me? That his love is so profound for Jacob? So committed to Jacob? He did not waver in his commitment to Jacob? How many of us, we mess up and we think God's commitment to us has been like compromised? No. God's commitment to his children is incredible. His commitment to you and I, right, despite what you do, right? Now, he's not going to excuse it, so, you know, there's a lot more to the story coming. But you got to lay hold of a God who is not just trying to reconcile the accounts all the time. He's trying to show Jacob, I'm going to do something to you that I need to record in the scripture for my children throughout the ages to see that I am committed to you no matter what you've done. One of the ways that the Lord deals with Jacob by giving him a dream. God has already begun to work and deal with Jacob. Does that make sense? God is not waiting. Oh, I'm going to get you later when Laban really deceives you, right? He's going to deceive you because God has already begun to deal with Jacob. That's something that we don't get normally. We really don't oftentimes get it. You got to know this about God's ways. This is how we normally think. Abby, put that away. Abby's 4 years old. Abby doesn't put it away. And then we, what? Think more 16th century Middle Eastern. That's the 21st century stuff. We'll keep it like that, or APG, you know. Spanky, right?
Or put her in a bed.
20%. I don't know. So when we mess up, when we mess up, God gives you dreams. Huh? Right? When you mess up, gives you a dream. That's kind of crazy, right? One of the things I get to learn about God's ways is that the goodness of right? It's amazing how God deals with us in his steadfast love. This is so true. When you know you've done something wrong, it doesn't come with a rebuke oftentimes. It comes with a dream. Isn't it so? And then when you see what he's done for you, what has happened? When you see that he's been so good to you, what does that promote in your heart?
Joy.
And when you see the joy in your heart, what does that promote?
Gratitude.
Repentance. You'd be like, right? It's amazing. God's ways are so beautiful. He overwhelms us with his kindness, with his beauty. And you don't need someone to rebuke you. You rebuke yourself, right? And say, why did I do that? Because he loved me so much. Lord, can I talk to you? I'm sorry. Right? When he's so good to us, right? When he's so good to us, and you realize, why did I act like that? He's been so good to me. Right? That's true repentance. And it's amazing when that love of Jesus comes. And then it ignites. It's not like, oh, I'm so, you ever see repentance that's just like stinks? It's like, I'm sorry. But it was your fault. Right? That's not true repentance. It's when we become overwhelmed by how good God is to us, right? When we become overwhelmed, then it's amazing how love, we have nothing apart from the love of God. Nothing. If God's love has to be the one that compels us to repent, compels us to say, I'm sorry. Otherwise, it's just cheap human effort that looks good on the outside, but it smells. Right? How many times have you said that people just say, but it's just worth nothing? God knows how to achieve what he wants out of Jacob. And he said, look at him. He's running away. I'm pretty sure Jacob was like, maybe thinking, what have I done? I didn't think it would happen this way. I'm pretty sure he's not thinking, whatever. You know, he had to come to, I thought he had that attitude. You know, so most people, you know, they'd be like, they feel for their dad, they feel like, I can't believe I'm in this mess. Just a couple weeks ago, everything was fine, and my life has been turned upside down, and now I'm running. I got into Haran, I didn't know who these people are. What's going on? And it's my fault, but I just listened to my mom, right? He could have said, the mother you gave me. He could have even said that, right? It was Rebecca, right? He had some, he has a point. And he's probably confused, and he's just like, I messed up, I did it. But, it's just like, and he just doesn't realize. And God, in that moment, when the sun has set, and he's uncomfortable, God says, I'm going to now act. Now, you have to understand that God doesn't just reveal himself to anybody whenever, right? He does it at really opportune moments in their lives so that it becomes a meaningful event for them. So I believe that Jacob was under some kind of distress, some kind of confusion, not knowing what his life is going to be. He doesn't know what's going on. My life is probably ruined. Am I ever going to see my mom again? That's a valid question. Will I ever see my family again? I don't know. He might kill me before I even reach the age of something, right? God comes and gives him a dream. I mean, do you see God's ways? Romans 2:4. Or do you presume? And this is where a lot of people sometimes they don't discern. And this is not always. Not every blessing God is. Although, to be quite honest with you, I think every blessing, to some degree, leads us to greater repentance. But we haven't arrived. Right? Have we? Who's arrived? Nobody. But I do believe that oftentimes, God's kindness to us. And we say, oh, Lord, you love me. Thank you very much. But we don't give enough thought to say, is there an area in my life that you're calling me to turn from? Right? You know, the idea that we look at bad things happen and then we say, okay, God, what are you trying to get my attention? Sometimes, and we see in the life of Jacob, the good things are God's way to get your attention. Does that make sense? You know, perhaps you've been blessed. Perhaps God is doing a good thing. It's amazing how many people can find a job. They get blessed. And rather than leading them to the Lord more, they what? They just get consumed in all of their responsibilities at work and they forget about God. As opposed to, no, God blessed you for that in order to draw you. In order to, like, right? In order to draw you. But we take God's blessing, right? We take God's blessing, we don't give it a fuck. I do believe that Jacob, from that moment on, is now something happened to you. I don't think you have that revelation. And what does it do for Jacob? And we're going to end, but obviously we're not going to finish. What does it do for Jacob? Imagine the confidence that Jacob has now with God. Not to say that, oh, I can do anything that I want. I don't think that was. But the flip side is, like, he must really love me. He must really. He tells me, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to keep you wherever you are. Wherever you go, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you. I've done what I have promised you. Imagine the confidence that Jacob, from that point on, was like, he must have had a really strong sense of, God is with me, and it's not based on what I've done. Not because I did my daily devotions this morning, right? It's not because I went and I fed the homeless. It's because of him. He said, he gave me a blessing with no history of moral righteousness. In fact, I'm actually on the run. I'm a criminal. What did, you know, posted, no? Esau had the first post office posted wanted. You know what I'm saying? He's right, he's on the run. And God is going to come now and give him a dream. And he will see the Lord. And he will confirm the promises to Jacob. That's going to be your walk with God. That's just a snippet. I mean, there are other things I have here. I wish I was going to get into. Maybe we will, I don't know. But there's so much stuff that in Jacob's life that will help us to understand God's ways. And so let's walk with Jesus. Amen? Let's walk with him. If you find yourself blessed, ask yourself, what areas might there he might be leading you to repentance? Maybe it might be the area of gratefulness. Right? Maybe we need to be grateful. Right? We need to be grateful to the Lord, and sometimes the Lord blesses us in order that we might repent of our ungratefulness and produce more gratefulness, right? Or maybe the Lord has blessed you because you've hurt somebody at home. And maybe he's trying to, you know, really begin to change that in you, which he will do. So he's begun. He's begun to work in Jacob by giving him a dream. That's crazy, right? I wouldn't know him giving Jacob a dream. No way. Neither would you, right? Well, let's pray. We'll see how the Lord leads. Thank you so much. So many beautiful things. Jacob is going to, I want to really pick up. Maybe we'll do it next time. I'm going to come full circle. And this is time to go back home. See how the Lord does that. Father, we thank you. We delight in your ways. We delight in your ways. And I pray today, Lord, that we will be a people. Be a people, Lord, that will delight in the ways of God. That we will not be defined by our failures. I pray for anyone here that has a guilty conscience or a heaviness of condemnation. I pray you would lift it, Jesus. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oftentimes there are things that are hindering our progress in faith, and it's oftentimes a misunderstanding of the grace and kindness of God. So I pray today, Jesus, I pray right now, supernaturally, you would lift up burdens. I pray, God, for those who carry the burden of not measuring up. None of us measure up. We all fall short of the glory of God, all of us. That does not change the fact that you love us. You've chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so I'm asking that you would, Lord, just speak tenderly to everyone here that finds himself in the wilderness of condemnation. The wilderness of not measuring up. That you would speak kindly to them now, and that kindness would reciprocate in repentance. So that our repentance is flowing out of what we have first received from you, rather than just a moral, intellectual capacity. I pray, Lord God, help us to receive your love. Jacob, what a beautiful example of a man who messed up really, really bad, and yet you pour out upon him such glorious promises and give him a dream. And I just ask you, Jesus, to do that in all of us so that we might be released. Burdens of condemnation, guilt, comparing ourselves with others, and that we would, Lord, just be set free. Be set free, Lord, to love you and to love each other. So do that wonderful work, Jesus. Please stand. We're going to sing that song again.